choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is time for the show. Jay Hardgrave, Gus Kattengill, Jordan the intern, as we are each and every Friday at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. This time next week, Jay, we'll be talking about practice number two under the belts for the Saints and previewing the first padded practice, also the first open practice for Saints fans. Plenty of Saints talk on today's show. We'll mix in some NBA college football as well as SEC Media Days started and ended this week, Jay Hardgrave. Today, the SEC Media preseason polls. Where are the Tigers in the SEC West? Well, I mean, yeah, are you surprised? I mean, I told you I thought one school just to the left of us would be a team that, you know. Anyway, that's not a surprise. You know what isn't a surprise as well, what I always do every Friday?
Yeah, I couldn't even get a word out in time. Nope. It just doesn't matter, though. I'm going to hear it anyway.
That's it. So sit back, relax. We got a good show lined up for you.
It's kind of hard to relax when you hear cats fighting outside.
That's not the sound of cats fighting. That's actually the soothing sounds of Rebecca Kubai.
That's synonymous, though, isn't it?
I'm sorry,
cats fighting, Rebecca Blythe. Cats fighting, fingernails being scratched down a chalkboard.
800-998-1003 is the way to get involved in the conversation via the phone lines. Joey, back over in the LaRose studios, will say hola to you. If you want to have Jordan work, tweet us at ESPN Radio Nolan. Jordan, also ways that people can get involved on the show. Anyone to, like, you know, listen in case they can't listen live, how to do that?
You could go to SoundCloud. You could go to the podcast app already downloaded on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. And you could go to our Twitter or Facebook, and there will be links after the show.
Yeah, easy enough. So that's a good. What?
When I left you last Friday,
yeah,
he was going to get a haircut. Mm-hmm. What happened? What went wrong?
I got a haircut.
Exactly. See, I said the same
thing. Why didn't you get the rest of them cut while you were at it?
I said that, Jay. I mean, I don't know how much you paid for that haircut, but
can you get your money back?
You know how much hair was on the ground?
You had a lot of hair. Yeah. But you went, though. Remember, he said he wanted to go for the look of, I didn't get a haircut. Remember?
Well, it worked.
Well, remember, he said, I don't like the look that looks like you have a haircut after you get a haircut, which I said make no sense.
The fresh haircut.
Exactly. So he went with the, I'm going with the I didn't get a haircut look.
So you just, like, went into barbershop and turned around and went back out.
Probably.
Essentially, yeah, it was a drive-by.
Essentially.
Well, see, whoever it was that was cutting his hair is probably thinking we're going to be here for a bit. And then, like, halfway through, I'm good. I've seen enough.
I'm good.
Just, I want you to remember this, Jordan, okay? When I was a kid, I had a thick head of hair. Mm-hmm. And look at me now.
No.
So
don't tell me that.
Surprised when you get older.
I'm scared.
If your barber is named Bic Disposable.
Oh, no.
Didn't mean to depress you.
No, just saying. This was
welcome to life,
Jordan. Jordan last week at the haircut place.
I saw enough.
That's it. Saw enough. That's all I really know.
I mean, it was enough.
Yep, that's it. I don't
play enough. It was all on the floor.
Still Grayson Allen, like, man, as far as I'm concerned.
You do. You look like a summer version of Grayson Allen.
Yes. I saw enough.
I think Grayson Allen actually.
Enough.
You know, it's hard to believe. We always do this every year, right before we go into training camp. But we'll do this next week. The over-under, right? Days until Sean Payton, does this.
Next question.
Exactly. How long? It's been plus or minus 2 to 3 days, essentially. You know, and it always, without fail, is an injury question. When you ask about an injury, you're absolutely going to get.
Next question.
I mean, it's happening. It is absolutely happening.
Or he altogether just stops the press conference and leaves.
That is very true.
Which he already did.
That is very true. But, here's the thing. And the reason I kind of started this because, Jay, we said this yesterday on the show. I get the sense and feeling. And I want to hear from Saints fans today on the show. Let's have a little fun. Let's just chit-chat back and forth. I get the sense and feel that there is as much excitement about the upcoming season from fans and a sense and feel from the team that there's something they can do this year that's special. Now, we all know what that means.
Yes. But I think they realize they're as deep as they've been in positions. We'll talk a lot about that today on the show, storylines and things of that nature, since camp's next week. But I also think they got talent. I think they feel they have youth that's talented and in positions that maybe they didn't have anymore. I think Drew Brees probably hasn't been sleeping or, you know, due to excitement, or has slept as relaxed as he has, because I don't think he has to do it all.
No, he doesn't.
I basically feel Drew doesn't have to trip over his own feet, and he can literally, honestly, pick and choose the poison. I know it's been a philosophy on this offense. I get it. But after 2011, 2013, it kind of stopped. I mean, there was reasons they went 7-9. There was reasons they went 7-9. We talked about this yesterday, Jordan, if you remember, towards the end of the show in the final hour. Do you remember there were no 7-9 seasons? You and I on the show on Friday, we would go, dude, who's the next Saints player that's going to get a top contract at his position? Because Brees is done.
Right? I remember that.
Remember? Brees was the first guy to hit 20 mil. I'm talking
that
about...
That was 2 years ago.
Right. I'm talking about the guy that, boom, is, you know, he's going to get number one, two, or three highest paid at his position. And we couldn't think of anybody. We're like, maybe Cam Jordan? And we said maybe back
right.
then, because he was not playing the All-Pro level.
Right.
I mean, he's taken it up a notch the last 2 years. But in the middle of that 7-9 stretch, we were who? We were like, is Vaccaro, you brought it up. Everybody, is Vaccaro going to get it? I'm like, I guess he'll get no one thought, but I mean, look, he's still not signed. First round pick. But that was a name that on defense, that was it.
That was all you had.
That was it, other than Cam Jordan.
Right.
And we're like, okay, well, Cam Jordan will get a nice deal.
Right.
But we didn't think he'd be top defensive end.
Right.
Money. And so that's why we were like, look, don't worry about the Brees thing. There's no one they have to pay. Then they go and draft the class with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas. He's thumbs up emojining the Brandon Cooks deal from this week, right? You're projecting he will have a top payday.
Yep.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So you could say top three, top five receiver money. I mean, Julio wants, you know, that.
Julio wants to set a
okay,
record.
Okay, yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. So I think we can at least, let's just be safe. Top five receiver
money.
Oh,
easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay. So let's look in the line, right? Armstead got a big deal.
Yep.
But it wasn't the top paid left tackle, but among. But he was he's been injured.
Right.
So if he continues and he stays healthy, his next contract may be a nice one. Andres Pete's coming up.
Yep.
Is he top three, top five guard? But again, this potential last year he had a good year.
Yeah.
If
he has another good year.
That's what I'm getting at, but at least there's potential. Switch on over to right tackle. I know it's only been 1 year. The guy played every game.
Versatile.
He played left and right. If, again, we're projecting, because it's 4 years down the road, but projecting, you may possibly have one of the top tackles in the league.
Right.
Top money? Top five? I mean.
Easily.
Right? I mean, you know how tackles go. If you're up and you're one of the best, you're going to, you have to pay, or another team's going to overpay. I mean, that's what happens.
The way this is going to work is, when Armstead comes up, you're going to have to let him go or trade him in advance, move Ramchek over, and then hopefully one of the guys you've drafted that's been sent to Mets can rotate over to the right tackle. You're going to have to start doing what the Patriots do. Trade guys, accumulate draft picks, go into every draft loaded, so when Davenport slides down the board, you can trade up, and what Sean Payton loves to do, mm-hmm. go get that starter that can come in. The only reason you can do that, it's because of last year's draft.
Jordan, go ahead and have a little fun at ESPN Radio NOLA and tweet. How many, let's project, let's play the fun game of projection here. How many players on the Saints roster currently can we project maybe will have top five money at their position with their next deal? Okay? So let's move to the backfield. I don't think there's any doubt. We project Alvin Kamara.
Easily.
I mean, this is one of those where like 0% of the precincts reported, I can project.
We can call a winner.
We can call that, you know, things project or, you know, going the way that we can see, Alvin Kamara will likely have a top deal.
And when I always say you're going to have to trade guys or let guys go,
right.
He's not one of them.
No,
he's one of the guys that gets paid.
I've been saying this week, and Mike Triplett of ESPN.com yesterday, and I'll ask it to you, I'll present the argument too. I said, look, And hear me out, because I know what I'm about to say at first. You know, people tend to stop listening at the beginning of a sentence. I think he has the potential. I take it a step further. Not only am I projecting he'll have top money in the NFL, I'm projecting he could possibly be bigger than Drew Brees ever was here nationally.
So you're saying?
I'm not saying, look, Brees is getting a trophy. I mean, a statue. I mean, there's a statue somewhere around the dome that's going to be Drew Brees, right? I mean, I'm not saying you're surpassing him. But Brees, even in his prime, I'm talking 09, I'm talking 11, right? Came second a couple times in MVP. Even then, you and I have talked about this a ton. You just never heard your Schefters, your NFL Lives, your Fox pregame shows. Man, they would never put him in the top three. They just wouldn't do it. Now, look, this year he can pass Manning with the all-time passing yards list and stuff. And so now you are hearing, finally, but Jay, tell me if I'm wrong. The last 2 years, you're finally starting to hear first ballot Hall of Famer. You didn't hear Hall of Famer when he was winning a Super Bowl, and you didn't hear Hall of Famer when the Saints in 11 entered. You didn't hear that.
No.
It was Brady, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Manning. I mean, right? Am I lying?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, he's getting the respect now, longevity-wise, statistically, and I think more and more people are saying, man, this guy has been. But he's been, you could say he's been overlooked.
Yes.
Most of his career. At the tail end, everyone's first ballot Hall of Famer. But that was not the case, man, when this team was competing.
And it's weird. And you try to come up with a reason.
I'm not saying we didn't say it. I'm saying nationally.
National. Right. And you try to come up with a reason. And to be honest with you, the only reason that I can come up with is his height. Because Peyton Manning, a lot of times a college quarterback comes on, he's throwing for 4,000, 5,000 yards a year. Everybody looks at it and says, oh, that's a system quarterback. That's just anybody can get plugged into Houston's offense or, Oregon's offense. Anybody can get plugged into those high-scoring offenses, and they can have those kind of numbers. But Peyton Manning never got treated the same way as Drew Brees.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers never got treated.
Now, man,
what's the consistency?
Look,
they're all taller guys.
Well, look, Peyton, 5 MVPs, a couple of Super Bowl trips and stuff.
Yeah, but he still only has one Super Bowl.
No, I hear you. So he's got two. Colts and Broncos.
Well, when I say that, it was before he got the second one when they were going back and forth.
He went to three, lost against the Saints.
Right.
But my point is, you never heard that. So this isn't about Brees. My point is, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now everyone talks about it. Everyone goes, he's a Hall of Famer. He's learning. Everyone, right? And openly, like Taysom Hill, I'm learning from a Hall of Famer. Tom Savage, I'm learning from a Hall of Famer. Like, it is an open thing now and understood.
It's slammed on.
He is a Hall of Famer.
First ballot.
That was not one the Saints were in 09-11. That's all I'm saying. At his peak, at his prime, when he was his youngest, right, really hitting it.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I think with Alvin Kamara, in 3 to 4 years, people will be mentioning him like they do Le'Veon Bell. Does that make sense? Like, people right now speak about the best players in the NFL. Brady's name comes up. But, I mean, right there, Le'Veon Bell, right?
And I think a lot of that has to do with, you look at the quarterback, he controls the passing game, and he completely controls the passing game. As far as the running game, you don't really control that much. Yes, you can be a good ball handler and carry out some play fakes that may help your running back out, but you really don't affect that. Alvin Kamara and the running backs, when you can run the football between the tackles and you can catch the ball out the backfield, you control both aspects of the game. So I think, there is some validity to what you're saying, that Alvin Kamara has the ability to carry more of the offensive load.
Madden talks about, 3-2, 5-2 players, whatever it is. This guy's got everything you need to. On the football field, he's got explosiveness. He's got ability to score touchdowns with every time he touches the ball. He's Reggie to what people thought he was going to be.
Yes.
Remember? When people thought Reggie in college.
He was at USC.
In college where, I mean, you tuned in and you couldn't wait for the highlights. What did he do? How many times did he go back and forth on the field? Who did he juke out of his cleats? What did he do?
Right.
That's what I'm getting at. Alvin Kamara has the potential to be that guy where people outside of Saints fans tune in to go, this guy here, right? I'm just saying. Now, I'm just talking about that's just the field stuff.
Right.
He also has that other stuff. He has that it factor off sides. I mean, off the field. I mean, this week on Wednesday in the ESPYs, did you see him do the?
Well, I did not see it.
On Twitter, you have to go to it because it's during commercial break. During commercial breaks, they'd give the mic to athletes, and they would either sing karaoke or they would sing songs or do whatever. Alvin Kamara got up and did it. He's just, you know, 2 weeks ago when they're having his camp, you just listening to him talk, and Marshawn Lattimore goes, no, man, he's on a whole nother level. I'm not a star. He's the star. Everyone loves offense, was what Lattimore said. But the other thing you said, it's just look at the guy's just got it, right? Somebody asked him a question, are you excited? And he turned it around quickly, goes, are you excited? Well, imagine me. I'm playing on the team. I mean, he just has it. He's very down to earth. He gets it. Jay, he lives in the city. You know, he walks from the game to his house. He wants to be immersed with the people. He just gets it. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, it wasn't very long ago where we sat here either on headsets, at a water cooler, at your bar up there if you're a regular patron, where people were going, man, what is it going to be like life after Drew Brees? Like, who's the face? Who's, you know,
you got
who's going to represent the city like Drew Brees does? This guy gets it. I mean, I'm just, like, he gets it. He wants to live here. He's not elsewhere in North, no offense, George, but you know what I'm saying? He's not North Shore. He's not out. He's right here. He wants to walk. He wants to hang out with regular people and get it. And more importantly, he's the marketing guy. Like, I could see him being a national marketing person.
Easily.
And that's why I say he has the potential to maybe be a little bit more than what Brees was. Because other than NyQuil and that commercial I keep making fun of where they get off at Manhattan on the West Bank Expressway, for some reason he's crossing. I saw that commercial. I'm like, why is he on the bridge on a team bus? Where are they going? The dome's the other way. And then they show the shot of Manhattan Boulevard and the bus getting down. I'm like, why are they taking him to West Jeff High School? What's going on here? Is Mike Smith driving the bus? I mean, it was crazy, but I guess that's
some only the locals
no,
would catch.
I mean, well, that's exactly. That's a out-of-state producer.
Right, who doesn't
Manhattan,
know what he's doing.
You know, New York trying to make – because he's on the wrong side of the river. I don't know where he's going. But that's my point, is that other than that, he really didn't have a ton of, you know – national spots and notoriety. He's gotten more lately, but not, you know what I'm talking, 09, 11, 13, that stretch, dude, he was at his best.
When did Peyton Manning take off as a celebrity?
Right.
When he did Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And everybody said that
could
may have been the funniest
thing. You not see Alvin Kamara doing Saturday Night Live?
You could.
Absolutely.
And that's where Drew kind of fell a little bit short.
Well, it's just different
Drew
people.
Drew
just
doesn't have that funny or charismatic personality.
I just think they're different.
He's a very, I don't want to say plain because there's nothing wrong with that.
No, he's very guarded.
Yes.
And he's very,
quiet, if you want to put it that way.
I would say even more than that, he's very understanding of his message, his brand, and he's very just, Brian calls him Captain America. It's a great nickname for him. He says the right things. He does the right things. He posts pictures of
leads
his kids.
Leads by example.
You know, and again, it's perfect.
Right.
No one's saying that. I'm just saying this kid has the potential to take off. I get it. He's had one season.
Right.
I'm not trying to I'm just saying though, when you hear him talk and you see him play and it's fun, he looks fun, he just gets it. I can just see this guy be the guy that sells jerseys outside of New Orleans. This guy hawks merchandise or products that's not just local. I mean, I've said this already. If you're a local business, whether you're Smoothie King or Zatarain, instead of, you know, paying Boogie Cousins Zatarain, you might want to go get on board with Alvin Kamara now, because in a couple of years, his fee is going to be a little bit higher too, because you're going to have national brands. I'm just telling you, this guy has it. He just does, man.
Here's another comparison. Go to Jordan and LeBron.
Hey, Alvin, if you need a marketing agent, I'm just saying.
Gus is available.
I'm available for you.
Think about Jordan and LeBron.
Yeah.
Jordan had that personality where he could sell things. LeBron
was
a little bit more reserved.
Right.
And he never got the
now, we'll see this year. We'll see this year in LA if that changes. Because there isn't the Sprite commercial, but really that. But
that's it.
Let's see this year. Now he's in LA where he can just drive to a lot and go, you know, knock out a shoot or something. I wonder if more stuff will be coming now because he is in Los
Angeles. Curious to see how that plays out.
But you understand what I'm getting at?
No,
right?
It is. You've got to have the personality to take it. It's what you do on the field, but you also have the personality.
I
think Kamara does have that personality where Drew didn't have that.
And again, he's a guy that I think he can change. He's a game changer. He's electric. He's a highlight. I mean, he's checking the boxes as to why. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, right? I mean, why Antonio Brown. the Pepsi commercial, yep. and he's dancing. Why? Because he's a touchdown waiting to happen.
He's got that outgoing personality.
Right? You see him smiling, and I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised or shocked in the next couple of years.
I think
you've
that's a fair
41
statement.
41 all over the place.
I
all
think
right.
that's a fair statement.
So I went
especially
off on a tangent.
If they win a Super Bowl here.
I went off on a tangent there, but yeah, Thomas, Ramchick, Pete, potentially.
Potentially.
Okay, Kamara's a slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
Okay, so we're already at possibly four, at least three.
Yes.
Top five contracts at their position in the future.
Yep.
On offense.
Yep.
And we don't know what Tre'Quan Smith or Cameron, but again,
potentially.
So we're just saying that right now.
Yeah.
On the defensive side. Now, again, I don't know what kind of deal Cam Jordan gets after this one because there's a few more years from now.
Yeah,
but, you know,
he's
still
a little bit older.
Okay. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Is he going to top Aaron Donald? You know,
I doubt it. I don't think you're going to be in position to do that.
But again, position's going to be different because I'm not talking about what he commands because having an all-pro season last year is going to help that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Slam dunk.
Shut down corners, get paid in the NFL.
1 year, what he did in his rookie year, you always expect year two is going to be a little bit better because you learn, you got that experience under your belt. When he becomes available, I think it's a slam dunk. He is a top three, probably going to want to get paid top three cornerback money.
So then you have also a situation where I think Marcus Williams has the potential to be top five.
Yep.
I really believe that.
Yes. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk.
Cerebrally, right. I'm not slam dunking yet.
But I'm close.
But he's okay. Now, I don't know what anyone else can do. But if you throw in Williams, Jay, my point as we hit the break here is Thomas, Ramchick, I have a question mark next to Pete, but, you know, you never know, top five. Lattimore, Williams, and Kamara. That's a potential.
Let me throw another name
players.
Out there.
Go ahead.
What about DeMario Davis? What if he steps in and has a Jonathan Vilma type year?
Top linebacker money. Okay, but these are the young players.
You're talking about the young ones.
Second, third year players.
And you haven't even brought up Davenport.
Jeez, I haven't. What if Marcus Davenport?
What if he goes off?
Okay, you know what? But again, hasn't played. But I'll put a question mark next to him because we don't know.
What if Sheldon Rankins goes off because of those two guys?
I forgot Sheldon Rankins. All right, let's put Rankins in there because look, D tackles are hard to come by that are good. Don't look at the stats. Cam Jordan said that last year. That guy play. He's helping all of us. All right, so Thomas, Ramchick, Pete, Lattimore, Williams, Kamara, Davenport, Rankins. You can make the case and argument. Okay, we're projecting. But they have the potential to maybe be top five at their position paid.
Anzalone.
Well,
ways to go.
I'm not ready to put him on that list yet. But my point is, that is a stark difference and drastic difference from 2 years ago.
It's also
when we were like, who is getting paid on the Saints roster when Brees retires?
2 years ago, exactly what you just said, Drew Brees retired. We all sat back and said, who's going to replace Drew Brees? Because we needed someone of Drew Brees' talent.
Right.
We no longer need someone of Drew Brees' talent.
What, 6, 7, 8? I mean, it's crazy. Jordan, the intern, posted that question on Twitter. We'd love to get your takes and comments here as well. Your guest list is our follow. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Catherine Terrell. ESPN.com covers the Bengals as we continue to look at the four-game stretch in that set where the Saints face the Bengals. 12:45, Charlie Ricks will give us an update on the British Open second round wrapping up here. 1:15, Rafael, Mr. Vegas. And coming up at 2:15, Marlon Favorite as, yes, training camp is next week. It's Friday, which means we're at Deuce McAllister's Old Stand Kitchen and Tap. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
New Friend Building Materials is proud to announce that our fourth annual fishing rodeo will be held at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle, August 17th and 18th. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased at Bridgeside or at any of our four locations, which include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Bell Chase, and Slidell. We'll have youth and adult divisions with K2 coolers to compete for on the adult side. Scales open at 4 p.m. Friday and close at 4 p.m. Saturday, which is when all the food, music, and fun starts and will include both a silent and live auction. So join us for a good time while helping give back to charities like New Life Counseling Center, Austin Abadie, and a local family in Grand Isle.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans, and it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog, and it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts, and our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Brian and Elise says we're going to have him drive off the road, saying we're acting like Oprah, trying to give everybody money. I just called him Jim Finks then, if he's going to cheapskate. Look, whether he likes it or not, there's going to be a handful of players asking for top five money on this roster, potentially. And again, we're projecting. I mean, I think we could say Michael Thomas is going to be coming up.
Easily.
Right? Because, I mean, he's the furthest along from a lot of the names that we said. So
It's what I kept saying. You're not going to be able to pay all these guys top dollar. You're going to have to trade
people. I think
people.
That's what he's saying, is that you can't do it.
I'm just saying
it doesn't stop them from commanding it.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Saints are giving it to him.
Somebody is.
Because there were, I mean, Carl Nix is an example I'm saying. Tampa Bay gave him top money.
Right.
As a guard. That's what I'm saying. At their position, I didn't say with the Saints. I said, who can command and has the potential to earn top five money in the NFL at their position?
That's why the next couple of drafts are crucial. Because you're drafting, and anyone you hit on, the person that you have at that position now becomes trade bait. You can let that
Stop
person
it.
Go.
See, now that's you're taking how, a,
that's
on.
Why
now,
Seattle.
Now Brian is going to drive off the road. We're not trying to trade these guys. We're saying they're potentially
but
be
Gus,
good.
But that's why Seattle is in the boat that they're in. They missed. After they had their team set, they started missing on draft picks. So when those guys started leaving, there was nobody there to pick up the slack and go in and plug in that position.
Hour one's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Go check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com as well. Personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass torts, and workers' comp is what they specialize in as well. One angry midget's chimed in. He said, do y'all remember when I said 3-year rebuild 3 years ago, then to eat in terms of fixing to take off. Look, the Saints are definitely in a position that I feel really, since when Sean first got here. I mean, this is kind of that reboot, isn't it? I mean, don't you feel that way? I mean, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. In all sincerity, Saints fans, I want to hear from y'all. Where would you rate this year's excitement going into camp? I absolutely think it's like that. Who was it yesterday on the show that said, Jordan, that, or was it you that we were talking about? Did you, oh yeah, it was you. You were asking if there was this kind of excitement
in
going
09,
in 2009.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Season
started, I think there was this kind of excitement. But not going into the season. I don't think anyone expected them to jump out.
That's what I was trying to say.
I thought they had a chance.
Okay, you know what? Go ahead, tweet that as well, and I want phone calls because I think I remember Saints fans. Because again, I go back to the team printing the Finish Strong shirts. Like they believed that they were there, just had to finish. And I felt like Saints fans were like, hey, we just got to, we're on the cusp of something here. Whereas this year, I think, I wouldn't even say cusp. I think Saints fans believe we're making a run this year.
Yes, by far.
So, but by
I'll
but,
take it a step further.
Okay, but by based off of your comments, are you ready to say then? Are you saying in the Peyton era, heading into the 2018 season, this is the most excited Saints fans have been then?
I'll even take it a step further. I think this might be the most excited Saints fans have been in the history of this franchise. I don't think we have ever had this good of a team, ever, talent-wise. It's one of the things, Gus, that I have a problem, and look, I'll tell people right now, I'll make the prediction before I even see a preseason game. I'm picking the Saints to beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and here's why. Both of those teams have chips on their shoulders. Pittsburgh lost to Jacksonville. Whether it was a good loss or not, you still lost to the new kids on the block, and right. Pittsburgh's got a chip on their shoulder. The Saints, the way they lost to the Vikings, I think these guys have a major chip on their shoulder, and to compound it and make it even better, the national media is giving them no respect. They're not even saying the Saints are one of the top teams. I don't know if there's a better team in the NFL than the Saints going into this year.
Got to get to a caller, and then Catherine Terrell, so we'll give the caller 60 seconds here, but... Jordan, why don't you inform Mr. Jay Hargrave here, who is the team that's getting all that respect in the NFC South?
Your Atlanta Falcons.
Keep it coming.
USA Today picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Keep it coming.
Okay, one angry truck driver to go.
Gee, who's this?
I wonder who this is. One angry midget says he knew that it was going to be a three-year rebuild, and the Saints are fixing to eat, or finning to eat. One angry truck driver, I wonder who this is. What's up? How are you?
Extremely mad. In fact, if you're on I-10 right now, going west towards San Antonio, move out of the way if you see a white truck coming.
Okay.
What are you guys talking about?
Here we go.
First of all, Gus, you're absolutely right. Going into the 2009 season, everyone believed, especially locally, that the Saints were going to be a Super Bowl team because they got one addition that they've been said they needed. They got Greg Williams. Everyone got on board. Greg Williams, the little fake hair, was selling all over the place. He was deemed the savior going in by many in the media.
That's right.
So going into the 09 season, yes, probably about more buzz than it is right now, but I'd say maybe equally the buzz was there. Secondly, giving out money. Besides the top five guys, Kamara, Thomas, Ramchek, Marcus Williams, and I'm missing one right now, I can't think of who it is, Lattimore. Nobody else is getting top five money because nobody else is going to put up top five numbers. Sheldon Rankin's not going to do it. Andre Pete, not going to do it. He couldn't even stay healthy last year, and that was his best season. He's not going to get top five money. It's not going to happen. Not from the Saints, not from anybody else. They're forgetting Carl Nix, one of the best guards in football, during the time when he got that money from Tampa. Last but not least, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I heard Jay Hargrave say he's going to pretty much trade away everybody. Take away the ice tea, there's something in it. Take it away now.
I know. One second he's agreeing with me that the Saints got to act like Oprah and give away top five money. Now he wants to draft people to replace them and use them as trade bait.
If you want to stay on top, you better be willing to make the moves.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how the Patriots have done it.
Hold on, Brian. I think you're misunderstanding, though, my point, and I think you agree with me on this, because you said at least five. I'm trying to think, in the Sean Payton era, has there been – five players that you think would make top five money at their position in the NFL?
No.
That's my point.
Not at all.
That's what I mean.
I think maybe three max during the best year.
Right.
And two of those guys won the offensive line. Jarry Evans could have commanded that kind of money.
Yep.
Carl Nix did get that kind of money.
Yep.
And maybe Brees.
Yep. But yeah, Brees did. He was the first $20 million quarter. But that's what I'm getting at, man. I think that's why there's so much excitement, Brian. I think there's so much excitement because of that and the potential in the future, because we can at least argue four, five, maybe more. But the fact that you said five, and we can at least say four, that's a ton. Five? I mean, that's
Brian, let me ask you this. I agree with your point about Greg Williams, that was a lot of excitement going in. Do you think Greg Williams had this much talent to deal with on the defensive side of the ball compared to this year's team?
Ooh.
Physical talent, no. Mental talent, yes. Because when Greg Williams had was a Jonathan Vilma that understood defenses. He had a Darren Sharper that understood defenses. He had young guys in Porter and Greer that were able to do exactly what he needed them to do. And that's just basically, give me time to get the pass rush there because I'm sending the house anyway. So talent-wise, Dennis Allen has much more talent for it, but mentally and being veteran, nah, I think Greg Williams had the edge there.
I'll say
valid
this, Brian.
Point.
I'll say this, and we'll argue this next week because you could say A.J. Klein maybe brought a little bit of what Vilma sort of did to Mario Davis here as well. And in that secondary, wonder the addition of Kurt Coleman being able to sort of help, and maybe he can almost play that sharper role in terms of helping that secondary understand things a little bit more. And you already have a guy in Marcus Williams that Dennis Allen says just is years ahead of the game in understanding the defenses in that D-line led by Cam Jordan, getting it and understanding it. So, Brian, you got some cerebral brains over there on the defensive side of the football field when you think about it. So
I think Kurt Coleman is going to be the one pick nobody talks about that's going to make the biggest impact this offseason.
I agree. All right, one angry truck driver. Be safe on your way over to San Antonio.
Take care, guys.
All right,
here
we
go.
Have a good one, Brian.
Take a quick
break.
Stay safe. When we come back, Catherine Terrell of the ESPN.com, used to be TomSpeakUni and NOLA.com, now covers the Bengals. We'll talk about the Saints-Bengals game. That's right, Saints taking on the Bengals in this next slate of four games that we'll be talking about. That is up next. We come back to the Sports Hangover live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans.
You have frequent heartburn? Take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand. Ah, which are very hard to see in the dark. It's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
The 2018 football season is getting started, and the Black and Gold begin their preparations with training camp, and ESPN New Orleans will be there to cover it all. Join me, Gus Kattengell, as we give you updates throughout the day, Monday through Friday, who's standing out, moving up the depth charts, camp storylines, player moves, and more, as you hear from the players, and of course, head coach Sean Payton. The 2018 football season is here, and it all begins with the Black and Gold training camp reports on ESPN New Orleans.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Get a true cinematic experience with the Dell XPS 13 powered by 8th-gen Intel Core processors and featuring new Dell Cinema technology. With Dell Cinema, you'll get incredible color, immersive sound, and smoother streaming so you can bring all your binge-worthy shows to life. It's everything you love about the big screen, now on your laptop screen. Because if it's made for a cinematic experience, it's made for Dell. Visit Dell.com or call 1-800-BUY-DELL. That's 1-800-BUY-DELL.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, Jordan Spieth just hit a shot out of the rough. Jay looked great, landed about 15 feet from the cup, and then it just rolled.
Took
right,
off.
Right past the green and kept going. Watch out. Charlie Ricks will join us here in a little bit. to go over round number two. Where is Tiger? Lots of big names now on the leaderboard when they show all of the players at the British Open.
Seeing a lot of American flags.
So over the last couple of weeks leading into training camp, we've been kind of looking at the season in quarters, Jay. The first four games, Bucks, Browns, Falcons, Giants for the Saints. Then the next four last Friday we talked about were the Redskins, the Ravens, the Vikings, and the Rams. And then this week, it's Cincinnati on November 11th on the road in Cincy. Then it's the Eagles, Falcons on Thanksgiving Thursday, and then Dallas a Thursday later. So back-to-back Thursday games. We'll get your take on that rest of the slate. But let's bring in Catherine Terrell, Bengals reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation. You can check it out, of course, ESPN.com. Just click the Bengals. You'll see her work, and you know her. TimesPicUNOLA.com, where she covered the Saints, at Kat_Terrell. And Kat, I toasted to your airplane yesterday as it flew over my house to come get you and bring you back to Cincinnati.
I was just happy my airplane was on time because I heard this cheer from the other side of the terminal, and I turned around. It was the Spirit Airlines plane pulling up 4 hours late. So
yeah.
Not sure I'll be flying Spirit anytime soon.
4 hours late. That's not a surprising story from that airline, by the way.
No.
Catherine, we got plenty to get into. Obviously, you're enjoying a little time off before the season starts. It's here, man. Training camp next weekend. And over here in New Orleans, tons of excitement. You know that, obviously, from keeping in touch with us and being a native of Louisiana. But what's it like over in Cincinnati?
Probably the total opposite. Every time I talk to Bengals fans, they're just not very enthused about this season. And it is interesting because I think that there is a lot of talent on the Bengals roster, and it really could go either way this year. But I think fans are just kind of over Marvin Lewis, who's returning for his 16th season, just re-signed a new contract. And there's just kind of this feeling of apathy around the city. I think that fans don't think their team's going to be very good.
Let's start there. Was that a surprise, Catherine? Marvin Lewis was back. Wasn't he out? I mean, I want to remember you wrote stories, and there were reports of it's coming. It's coming right at the end of the season, probably the second to last game, probably the last game. And then out of, to me, nowhere, extension.
Right. So in early December, Adam Schefter reported that Marvin Lewis is going to walk away at the end of the season. And, of course, you know me having – I covered the Saints around me. I made it my mission to ask him if he was leaving probably every 2 to 3 days for the next month. And he never answered. But as it got closer to the end of the season, the Bengals got blown out twice around that time. The day it was reported that he was leaving, they got blown out by the Vikings. They had just gotten blown out by the Bears. Well, they started winning. They won their last two games. And you just got this sense, actually, I think he's going to stay. So the last week, I started to get the sense that he would be staying. And it's because the Bengals don't really like change. They thought that if they could keep Marvin Lewis and maybe get some new assistants, that it would be enough to get them on the right path next season. We'll see.
Speaking with Catherine Terrell, covers the Bengals for ESPN.com, Jay.
Catherine, one of the big question marks going into the draft was who was going to take a chance on Joe Mixon. Now Jeremy Hill, former Tiger running back, he's gone. He's moved on in free agency. How is the Joe Mixon draft pick looking right now? And can we expect to see him beat out Giovanni Bernard, or is this Giovanni Bernard's job to lose?
Well, I think that he and Bernard are just two different players. Bernard's never going to be an every down back just because of his size and history of knee injuries. So they basically complement each other. I think ideally Mixon would have 16, 18 touches a game, and then Bernard would come in and be the change of pace back and catch passes and things like that. And if used right, they can really complement each other. The problem last year is that the Bengals had a really porous offensive line. I think they couldn't figure out how to juggle three running backs. Mixon never really got a chance to get in the groove. And when Hill got hurt and Mixon did get more touches at the end of the year, Mixon also got hurt. So I think this year going into it, if Mixon is going to be the guy, I really think he can do a lot this year, and I think he can be their guy, but he and Bernard will definitely work in some sort of tandem.
You mentioned Marvin Lewis and how people feel about him. Is it on the same level or a close Andy Dalton, quarterback of your Bengals?
I think it's different, I guess. I don't think many people in Cincinnati really think Dalton is a great quarterback, but it's different because Lewis has been there a lot longer. I think when you look at Dalton, you see that he does have the potential to be good if he's surrounded with the right cast of characters. You know, Dalton is not Drew Brees, obviously. I don't think that he's a quarterback that's going to elevate his team to a higher level just by taking the team on his shoulders. But I think that if you could fix the offensive line and have some weapons around him, he can have a nice season. I think that he was actually very, very good in 2015 until he got hurt. I mean, he had that team playing on a great level, and that's what they want to get back to. But you've seen that he's capable of it. He just they need to figure out how to gel together this year.
Catherine, jumping to the other side of the ball, Vontaze Burfict. It seems like this guy's like bordering on stardom, and then he just does something every year that just seems like maybe you want to cut bait with the guy. Is there any way he's going to be able to get under control and be that, take that next step into stardom?
I think with him, it's hard because it seems like, I think every year since 2016 now, he started the year on suspension. And so he's the type of guy that takes a while to get back in shape. So this year you're already losing him for four games. Then you have to expect, all right, he hasn't played in a while. Now he's going to have to get back in shape. And suddenly it's the second half of the season. And I think that it's very hard to rely on someone like that. And you could see that built into his contract when they did re-sign him last year. His contract is structured in a way that the team, I guess, kind of saves money because a lot of his salary is tied up in base salary. So if he doesn't play, he's not going to get paid that money. But I've said for a while, I think that they need a backup plan. They need to look forward beyond Burfict. I think he's a brilliant player when he's on the field and in shape. But I think that you can't just keep going on like this, expecting that you're going to lose one of your best players for a quarter of the season. I think in the future, they probably need to have a plan B.
That probably makes it a little difficult, doesn't it, to plan for the future. Catherine Terrell at @Cats_Terrell's way to follow over on Twitter. Covers the Bengals for ESPN. Two final questions for you, Catherine. What are the expectations for Cincinnati? I know obviously everyone's talking it's Pittsburgh and maybe that division. I think five wins makes sense for Cleveland this year. You obviously cover that division. The Saints are playing it. When you look at Baltimore and you look at Cleveland and Pittsburgh, where do the Bengals sort of fit there? So what's Cincy's expectation levels, and what can you tell us about the division overall?
Well, I think the Steelers are still the favorites to win the division, but I do probably see them taking a step back this year. Maybe not a huge step, but there are a lot of changes in that team right now. And, you know, obviously they don't have Ryan Shazier anymore, and Roethlisberger's not getting any younger. Then there's a situation with Le'Veon Bell. So I think that that team might not be as good as last year, but they should still be the favorites. The Ravens and the Bengals, to me, seem to be in the same boat. They could both be mediocre 8-8 teams, or maybe one of them can take a step forward unexpectedly. And as far as the Browns go, I think people are probably getting a little too excited about the team based on their great offseason. I do think they'll be better, like you said. They will have to win a game this year, obviously, to keep Hugh Jackson. But I think, they can win five games and maybe more. But some people are saying they're going to win the division and kind of running off a little bit when the season hasn't even started. But as for the Bengals, I probably see them 7-9 to 9-7 in that range.
Well, Panthers and Falcons are games 3 and 4 on the Bengals schedule, so hopefully Cincy's playing well, at least at that point of the season, Catherine, for everyone here in New Orleans. We talk about the NFC almost like the Western Conference in the NBA. Do you feel the AFC, final question for you, is kind of open this year? Is it we're just waiting to see who plays New England like we have in the past?
It always seems to be that way, right? There's a lot of variables this year. I mean, it usually always seems to be the Patriots, but I am interested. I don't think the Colts are, going to be great this year, but I'm so interested to see if Luck can finally get back on the field and change the fortunes of that team. So, yeah, that's one team I'm looking at to see what they can do. Right now it always seems to be Patriots or bust.
All right, here it is. Catherine Terrell covers the Bengals. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Oh, and the Jaguars, of course. Forgot them.
Yeah, don't forget Jacksonville. They're pretty good. They need a quarterback too, don't they? We'll see.
what Blake Bortles can do. At Cat underscore Terrell is the way to follow over on Twitter. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, for sure. I think Bortles will be better this year.
You hope so. I mean, if he is better,
I know I'm nuts for saying this. I know people probably think I am. I think the Raiders are going to. 2 years ago, they had the MVP. They had the MVP 2 years ago.
They were there. KC's going to take a step back. Pat Mahomes may be great one day. There are going to be some growing pains with
him.
So I think that.
Do I hear Andy Reid on the hot seat?
No. They know.
You know what? That's your homework for next Friday. Heading now that training camp has begun next Friday, I want your top five hot seat coaches in the NFL.
I can probably come up with that by the end of the show.
Sports Hangover comes back next. We are live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. We'll give you a leaderboard update on the British Open. Don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Summer Passport sales event.
Going on now at Barker Mitsubishi.
Get 0% APR for 72 months.
Plus, make no payments for 90 days.
You can own a brand new 2018 Outlander Sport with zero down and just $299 a month.
Or get into a new 2018 Outlander with a third row seat.
For only $329 a month with no money down.
This is not a lease. You own it.
Plus, all these new Barker Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
0% APR for 72 months, plus no payments for 90 days.
Only at Barker Mitsubishi, located at the Big 3 Auto Corner.
Where St. Charles meets West Tuna Boulevard in Houma.
Come on, get your passport for saving.
Excludes CT and L and select models with approved credit. Some customers will not qualify. 72 months, 4.9% APR. Warranty excludes Evolution and IMIEV. 0% and 90-day payment may not combine with bank or cash rebate. Must finance the Mitsubishi. See Barker for details and 73118.
This is Mike Dettigia. If you love having the weekends to do special things, at Neal's Small Engine, you will find everything you need to keep your lawn nice and neat. We have Gravely and Skag Zero Turn mowers, Echo, Shindawa, and Steel trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws. Our showroom is the biggest in the South. So if you want the best products along with the best service, there's only one place to go. That's Neal's Small Engine Incorporated. We have three locations to serve you in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau. It's the best on the bayou.
Since 1948, that's 70 years, Alario Brothers has been in the commercial shrimping and fishing supply business. They carry a large selection of stainless steel shafts up to 2.5 inches, but they can order larger if you like. They also stock 2, 3, and 4-blade propellers up to 42 inches. They have a large selection of shaft couplings, single V-struts, and stainless steel rudders. Now listen to this. Alario Brothers is now stocking rudder blades so you can make your own rudder. They are now carrying stainless steel plate pieces. You can make your own V-strut. They have a huge selection of stainless steel stern tubes, rudder, and shaft shoes, fiberglass tubes, rudder ports, packing boxes, and dripless shaft seals. They also stock tiller arms and rubber cutlass bearings, along with a big line of motor mounts. And if they don't have it, they can get it for you. Go visit Alario Brothers before the season. Alario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego, 504-341-1843. Visit their website, alariobrothers.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, Charlie Ricks, host of NOLA Golf Academy, Jay Hargrave at NOLA Golf Academy is where you follow over on Twitter. Yesterday said, you know, the British Open, it could rain, it could be sunny. I mean, literally the blink of an eye. So he told me yesterday, no rain. I'm watching this morning, Tiger Woods standing under an umbrella. I'm watching the golfers standing underneath umbrellas.
Kind of like
I'm looking over his shoulder right now on the TV. It's bright sunshine, not a cloud. I mean, look at it. Look at the long shadows. That was not the weather this morning.
And we thought the morning tee-off times would have an advantage today because the winds would die down. No, they had
perfect.
Three layers on this morning.
And not just that. Because of that, does that soften up the green?
It does soften them
up. See what I just did? That's what I learned.
But I tell you what, I watched this early round this morning. So many putts were being left short because the speed had changed. These things were lightning fast yesterday. But, yeah, they had rain gear on today. Phil Mickelson this morning was playing with two gloves on his hands because it was so wet out there.
Right.
But now sun's back out, and there's really none in the forecast for the rest of the weekend. And, boy, what a weekend this golf tournament is shaping up to be.
Yeah, let's get into it because there's a lot of names on there. Jay, we'll start. I'm going to start with just Tiger Woods. Back-to-back 71s. He's even the leader, which we'll get into all the names and everything. It's 6-under right now with Zach Johnson. He has a slew of players with him, which we'll get into, including Kevin Kisner, who led yesterday. But my point is, Charlie, is 6 shots too much?
No.
No? Okay. So
not the last round, 6 shots. It depends on how many players are in the mix. Right now, you have 40 players, including Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, that are within 6 shots of the lead. We have 36 holes to play, Gus.
Well, I just impromptu.
Now, the lead could change. Now,
El Gato Negro, Jordan Spieth. I was going to tell you, because your point to what you're just saying was I thought Jordan Spieth was out yesterday.
And you said something about him a minute ago. Did he just double bogey?
He was 4-under, and I was about to say, well, Charlie, to your point, Jordan Spieth yesterday didn't have a good first round. He's 2 shots from the lead, and he just chili dipped. Yeah. So he's looking at a bogey.
and he was having one of the best rounds of the day.
Right.
He's 5-under today. That'll probably go to 4-under after you just mentioned his name. but he's 4-under for the tournament right now. Tommy Fleetwood and Jordan Spieth, the best rounds of the day. Tommy Fleetwood is 5-under. He was 6-under today. Tommy Fleetwood from Britain. He was one of my picks last year. So, but we look at this leaderboard. The cut was at -2 all morning. It's now been moved, to +3 today. That moved a few key players back into the weekend. One of them is Patrick Reed. Today, he's 3-under. Patrick Reed's making a little move, Gus. But he's +1 for the tournament, only 7 shots out. Notable names that will not be around for the weekend. The favorite in this golf tournament was Dustin Johnson. He gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another, Bubba Watson, another long hitter. He's not here for the weekend. And, of course, Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia.
Sorry, I'm fist pumping.
Yeah,
Ricky Fowler.
All right, so I would guess that Ricky Fowler just probably made
4-under.
A birdie putt.
Saved. No, he saved par. He was 4-under, saved par.
Now, your leader right now, Zach Johnson, -6, 2-time major winner.
Yeah.
He's won the British Open before. Of course, he has a Masters. Your boy, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, just right there.
In 2014, I don't know if you remember this, Rory McIlroy won the British Open. You know who was second?
Ricky.
Ricky Fowler. Yeah. So he can play links golf. Speaking of Rory McIlroy, he's right there, 269s for the first two rounds in the hunt. So we have unlike the U.S. Open, we have some really top names that are going to be around this weekend.
Well, Jordan Spieth just did an unbelievable save. Look at his shot. You can see it in the mirror behind me, Charlie. You can turn around. That's like a mini levee. He's hitting the ball out of there, Jay Hardgrave, and he gets it to within maybe 2 feet of the pin, Charlie. He was probably looking at bogey. Can at least maybe save par here.
Par here.
That's
right,
unbelievable.
But the leaderboard, Zach Johnson, Kevin Kisner at 6-under. Couple of players could get the 7-under. You have the South African Xander Lombard. He's at -6, and he has still 8 holes to play.
Wow.
So wouldn't be surprised if we see a -7 or a -6. Kevin Kisner also tied for the lead. Remember Kevin Kisner?
Uh-huh.
Last year at the Zurich Classic, he chipped in on 18 to go into a playoff, and then eventually lost the playoff at the Zurich. But good player. From Georgia, hangs around in these majors, it seems. Pat Perez, what a surprise, 42-year-old from Phoenix. We haven't seen him on a leaderboard since Moby Dick was a minnow. Okay, he's been around a while. But he's -6.
Yeah,
now, how about Tony Finau? Remember the guy that hurt his ankle at the U.S. Open on the jump? Tall guy,
right.
Hits it a mile.
Yeah.
He's at -5, and he still has 6 holes to play.
Wow.
He's very much in a hunt. But what a weekend we were headed into, Gus. We have Rory McIlroy. We have Jordan Spieth. We have Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. They could be playing together tomorrow. They might make that pairing.
Yeah, this is the opposite of what we saw, Jay Hargrave, at the U.S. Open, which we saw really no big names going into the weekend. Charlie, this is what golf wants. Contention. And
wives want, because you can get pretty much most of your viewing done and still have an afternoon and evening done.
And you know, you at the British Open, you can make a bet on golf anytime, any minute, on every hole. But they're probably taking bets right now on, you can still bet on who will win this golf tournament. If I had to make a bet right now,
well,
I tell you what, it would be hard not to go with Rory McIlroy.
Spieth, I said was saving it for par. That was bogey, so he saved it for bogey. Good thing on that. So he's now dropped.
So he's going to go to minus three, but he's still three shots from the lead.
Yeah, no, it's still good.
When you have 40 players within six shots of a lead, anything could happen. And if we go into Sunday, if we're going to have possibly 20 players or more within two or three shots.
Wow.
This is going to be wide open. And it starts 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and Sunday on Channel 8. You can get 6 to 8 hours of coverage.
We'll recap on Monday here on our show. And also, of course, NOLA Golf Academy, 6 to 8 o'clock live from Golf Tech. Follow Charlie over on Twitter at NOLA Golf Academy, the way to do that as well. Hour 2 of the Sports Hangover next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.